This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Forum on WSMI. I'm your host, Sean Bellent. It's Fire Prevention Week, and I had a chance recently to visit the Witt Volunteer Fire Department. I wish I had a full hour for this program. A fascinating conversation I had with Chief Don Kaiser and Assistant Chief Dan Rogers. Now, today on the program, we're going to focus on what it takes to make a volunteer fire department work. They do not have much in the bank when you talk about financing for the department. $32,000, that's the starting point. So they have to really stretch that money through grants and fundraisers. So a closer look at what they're able to achieve at the Witt Fire Department on today's edition of Forum. Well, folks, it is good to be at the Witt Volunteer Fire Department here at the HQ, and I've got a chance to speak with, I'll introduce them one by one. First up, Chief Kaiser, thanks for having me out here.
Thanks for coming, Sean. We're glad to have you here.
And Assistant Chief Rogers as well. Great to be out here. Thanks for having me.
Certainly a pleasure to have you here, Sean, and certainly a pleasure to be on WSMI.
Well, let's talk about the Witt Volunteer Fire Department in 2021. How many members strong are you?
The roster's showing 48 members right now, which includes 6 explorers, 5 honorary, and 37 regular active members as of today.
That's a lot of growth over the years, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, definitely. Yes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing, but a bad thing, because you got to have gear, you got to have pagers, you got to have all the gear that goes with it to cover these guys, but that is a good problem to have. We will outfit them, trust me. We will figure out a way.
And it's not like the old days. I have to think there was a time where you had the coats and the helmets on the rack, and whoever was working would just grab it. I guess now things are form-fitting, or whatever you want to call it,
everybody's
to meet the needs of the individual.
Everybody's got their own gear fitted to them, your own helmet, all that stuff. Yes, you're exactly right. When I got on, everything was on the truck. You just showed up to the scene and grabbed whatever you could. There was many times I had 2 left boots or 2 right boots on, or a coat that didn't fit me correctly. So yeah, that's all in the past now.
Well, you guys wear a lot of hats. I mean, I hear it, the firefighting business isn't just fighting fires.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, there are several things that goes into a volunteer fire department that a lot of folks don't see behind the scenes. One of them, community outreach, whether it's fire prevention or you know, just getting within the community with the addition of the Safe Passage program, you know, and then inside the fire department, the operational aspect, you know, fire suppression, structural fire suppression, wildland fire suppression, then you have extrication, medical first response, rope rescue, all aspects that we have to deal with, and we try to stay away from the hazmat portion of it as much we can, but we have some real light awareness training in hazmat as well that we have to deal with. And then, you know, you've even got your things like power lines down, electrical hazards, and propane leaks, and you know, natural gas leaks and stuff like that we have to mitigate as well. So yeah, a lot of hats, a lot of training involved to make sure that all of our guys are safe when dealing with all these hazards as well. So a lot of hats. That's right, Sean.
Well, and people maybe from the outside, maybe you're out there in Hillsborough or Litchfield and don't understand the fundamentals of a department like this. Oh, well, they just go from one end of it to the other. Sounds pretty simple. Well, that's not what you do. I don't know if you ever did that in the history of this department, but you take up some territory.
Yeah, absolutely. So we cover 3,250 residents, over 142 square miles, the city of Witt and the village of Irving City limits both. So there's a lot of people, and that doesn't include the people that pass through, you know, Route 16, your more busy rural roads on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, that's our permanent population there, and we really haven't seen much of a decrease in that over the years.
A lot of rural area. You know, farm. Obviously, we're a farming community, so you know, you got that aspect. Field fires, grain bin stuff, machine shed fires, you know, all that kind of outside of the city limits. There's a lot of farmland out there, a lot of acres to cover.
Well, I know they call it fire science for a reason, and anybody who's paid any attention to any major fires
knows that you just don't roll out to a fire. Well, grab the water. And especially, like you said, when you bring up the ag side, the chemicals and everything involved. I mean, it takes some training, a serious education.
It takes a lot of training. What did we log in hours here recently? It was over 800 hours so far.
Yeah, just year to date as of at the half point of the year mark. So July 1st, we were like 840, something like that, for hours logged.
But the call starts when the pager goes off. We talk about this a lot, especially for the new guys that get on. You especially in our positions as an officer, you start working a call immediately. Whether it's middle of the night during the day, first. You know, you got to figure out who's around, who's working swing shift, who, if it's seasonal, I might be in the field, I won't be around, or the other guys in the department might be in the field. You start working that call, depending on the time of day, who you might have, what kind of call is it, are you going to need mutual aid, is it something big? But if we have auto aid coming, but is it big enough, you need more than that, you know.
We have a guest appearance by our friends at CSX. They kept food on the table when I was growing up, so always good to see a train pass through here on Earth Street. But it's really fascinating stuff, and boy, I'll tell you, I know you really have to work to crunch the numbers, because I know the equipment has not gotten cheaper.
No, not at all. Yeah. It has just, like a lot of things, but especially in the fire service, it's exploded. But thankfully, Dan has done an awesome job. I can't say enough for our department and the surrounding departments and surrounding counties even now, the grants that he's been able to secure for us and the other communities has just been great. I'll let him elaborate on that. He's done a phenomenal job, though.
Yeah, I mean,
where it's at.
I mean, I think our primary focus, other than firefighter safety and community safety out here, is always the financial aspect, Sean, of what we do. I mean, your average, we operate on a $32,000 annual budget, and you know, like an average set of gear to outfit a firefighter is $3,200. So that's, you know, that's 10% of our budget to outfit one firefighter. When you toss an SCBA in there, now you've added another $7,000. So now $10,500, that's just one firefighter outfitted to go inside. That doesn't include the $500,000 fire truck that's sitting outside, or the $500 hose, or the, you know, $1,500 radio on his shirt, or the $10,000 thermal imaging camera that he's holding. So all that stuff comes at a cost, and there's no way with our $32,000 operating budget that we're going to be able to afford to stay NFPA compliant and uphold the mission to the community, which we promise to do, which is quality fire protection. So we really, really depend on this grant money, federal, state, and local, and even at the corporate level as well, to be able to fill the gaps in our operating budget, or even supplement it, so to speak. So grant writing is something I got into back in 2009, and I got the itch when we got our first big award, and from then on I really liked having nice new stuff here in the station. So, you know, that took an interest in it, and it's kind of snowballed from there, I guess. And I'm just glad I can help our department especially, but even more so some neighboring agencies.
I know you just landed another one here in the last few days.
Yeah, we snagged a federal grant, assistance to firefighter grant, for $41,441 for hose, nozzles, and appliances. It's a big upgrade for our department. Some of the hose that we're still running is close to 30 years old, which is still doing the job, but it's seen thousands of hours of operational time. So the fact that we're going to be able to roll that out and put some brand new stuff in there, you know, just makes us feel as chiefs a lot safer sending guys in there, knowing that the stuff that they have to protect themselves is state of the art.
You know, when you got a team inside the house either trying to save a life or saving property, and they're in a pretty nasty environment, very dangerous, life-threatening, you might as well say, that's not the time to have a hose go bad. That is not the time. You know, we do test hose, and occasionally, you know, you'll catch one that'll blow in training, so you'll take that out of service and replace it with a new one. But still, though, we, like he said, with the age of some of the stuff around here, it's going to happen eventually. It's not going to be when we're testing it sometimes. It's going to be on a fire with potentially somebody's life on the line. So yeah, securing these grants to upgrade our equipment, it's not about always having a shiny new red truck. That's cool and all, but then it's nice. Don't get me wrong. We like to ride in nice new trucks, but it's so much bigger than that. It's the safety aspect. I mean, just anything we use around here, it's got to work. It's got to work at a moment's notice. It cannot break down. You know, it's
absolutely one of Donnie's favorite sayings here that I've taken to heart a lot of times is it only takes one small tiny aspect of any of the equipment that we've got to fail while we're inside that IDLH atmosphere for something to go horribly wrong for one of our guys. So it could be a piece of your bunker gear fails. It could be a piece of your SCBA fails. It could be one of the hose splits open while they're inside of a, you know, just a cranking fire, and just one small aspect to fail. And it's catastrophic. The results are catastrophic. So we do what we can with the financial means that we're given and the amount of fundraising that we pull. And we're well aware that WIT Fire Department's doing fundraisers, you know, the winery fundraisers monthly and the rib dinner in the spring. We're trying to fundraise all the time, but we want the public to know that we're not doing that because we want the shiny things. We're doing that because we're trying to meet regulatory requirements.
Yeah, we have requirements we have to go by.
That's right.
Now, on all departments, including ours, sometimes it's hard to meet those all the time because it takes a lot of cash to do that.
That's right.
A lot of cash. But I'd say we've done, like you said, Dan, with the fundraising and the grants he's able to procure and get. Man, we don't do too bad. There's always room for improvement. But I've been big, since I took over chief, I've been big on the PPE stuff. Got to make sure that stuff is up to par. Got to, no questions asked. If gloves are bad or maybe getting a little thin, you get a new pair of gloves. I mean, we cannot, firefighter safety, starting right there with the PPE equipment that they're wearing, I am big time on that. There's no excuse if we've got money in the bank and somebody's wearing boots with a hole in it. There's no excuse for that.
Absolutely.
Whether we can get a grant or not, if we got money in the bank, we're getting a new pair of boots.
Because
I don't want anybody, I could not live with myself if somebody got hurt because we were too cheap to go get in the proper equipment that they're donating their time and their life to do for free, basically. So,
you talk about the big rig and spent a bunch of years in Springfield, and that seemed to be a constant battle, you know, with all the resources they had, and they had fire trucks with about all but one wheel in the grave, and somehow they just patched it up, kept it going out there. And I know there's become, I guess, a growing industry, I guess, in renovating or I guess, you know, giving you know, an old truck a little bit of an extended life. That's a heck of a challenge. Boy, you have to be right on top of maintenance and give that thing a lot of TLC, don't you?
Definitely. We've got a maintenance program around here that, yeah, things get looked at often. We do truck checks and equipment checks monthly on all the small equipment and the trucks physically themselves, air packs. Everything in this firehouse should and does get checked once a month for sure. But then, yeah, we service our own vehicles, most of them, and try to catch things, and you know, if we find something wrong, we try to get on it, if not immediately, within a day or two, to get that stuff fixed and safe and, you know, back in service, basically, if it was taken out of service. So
yeah, the beauty of having a volunteer fire department, and you know big city fire departments look down on us as the little podunk fire department, right? But the beauty of having that is we've got a lot of farmers, and farmers are good at one thing, and that's fixing their own equipment. Farmers don't want to spend money, you know, so they're going to fix their own equipment. So we've got mechanics on our department. We've got electricians. We've got carpenters,
welders.
I mean, you name it. If something's broke out in them bays, you can almost bet that a member of our department has either seen it broken before on their own equipment and knows how to fix it, or we'll tackle that project themselves before we have to take it somewhere. And I think that's one of the big differences between us and other departments is you know, we do everything we can to save that dollar and put it back into the community where we think it's gonna benefit them the best. You know, so for instance, I mean, our tanker had some light issues the other day. And a gentleman on our department ordered up some LED lights and was able to make the swap out and changed our old halogen lights over to LED. It was a safety issue. And at the same time, we had an air conditioner problem in our primary engine. And he was able to come in here, pop it apart, you know, with his expertise, replace the piece that was needed. And all it cost the department was just a part. And it, you know, that goes so much beyond just basic maintenance to the point to where it's really saving our department a lot of money and allowing us to put those funds back where they should be.
I'd like to go a step further. Even from the year I got on, 1993, the station you're sitting in right now was built by the volunteers.
Oh, wow.
We built this with all the volunteers. It's on the department, built it by hand. And that, when I wanted to get on, I said, how can I get on this fire department? They said, well, one good thing is show up and work and help build the firehouse, and that'll look good, and we'll go from there. So when I got on in 93, I think the concrete was here, and that was about it. And just, I was amazed then that these guys are every nights and weekends, they're donating their time to build this community. They're a brand new firehouse. That was amazing to me.
Well, you talk about that hands-on maintenance. Boy, what a godsend too, because if you're taking a fire truck to be worked on, what's that, an 80-mile trip somewhere? Not every dealer will say, push that Ford Taurus aside and that that Malibu, go ahead and pull the fire truck into Bay 2.
Yeah.
To be able to not take it out of town, not have the cost, not put the miles on the rig, and to be able to do it hands-on and then be able to keep that thing in service and not take it off. I mean, you'd hate to be in a situation where you have something headed out of town for a day or two. That's just part of, I guess, the resourcefulness and effectiveness of this department.
You kind of hit it on the head there, Sean, that, yeah, our goal is to try to keep that apparatus in service and not take it out, or if it has to come out of service, as brief as possible. You don't know when the next call is going to be. So the idea is to get it fixed right and back into service, or keep it in service as fast as you can. So, yeah, you don't have time, or you really shouldn't take it 80 miles out of town. You hope you don't have to, and then that the engine's out of town for a week, and, you could have a big house fire. In that time, you never know. So yeah, we try to do everything in-house, and we've got some dealerships not too far that if it's something above us, we just can't figure out, that we rely on, and they treat us pretty good. So,
well, look for an extended cut of this interview, significantly extended, on WSMI Radio in the hours to come. That's a wrap for the program. I want to thank Chief Kaiser and Assistant Chief Rogers for a great visit to the Witt Volunteer Fire Department. We'll see you again next weekend for Around Montgomery County on WSMI.